Hey, everybody, it is Jeremy Roan again for another edition of Snipes and Stripes with my boy, Tim Peel, one of the greatest referees. No, I'm sorry, not one of the greatest. The greatest referee of all time in the National Hockey League. Snipes and Stripes right here on nofilter.net. And we're getting excited. I miss you on Monday. I hope everything's great with you. I took the show on solo, and I hope it went off okay. But we have a lot to talk about today, Tim, and it is the final. I gave a lot of my opinions on the final on our Monday after the weekend edition. But I'm really looking forward to hearing your take on this final coming up starting this weekend. And first of all, how you doing, buddy? You're looking fresh, looking good today.
Good. I'm good. I heard you killed it on Monday. I saw the clips. I appreciate you taking the show over solo Monday. As you know, JR, you're a golf connoisseur, I would say. You love golf. You've played some tremendous golf courses all over the world. And I had the benefit or the fortunate opportunity.
The pleasure to play
Pine Valley in New Jersey. Some say the number one course in North America, right up there in the world. It was an incredible experience. I played with this girl, Megan Stassi. She's one of the most decorated amateur women's golfers. She's won 4 USGA events, captain of one of the teams coming up. She was just a phenomenal person, phenomenal host.
And how bad she beat you?
She beat me. It wasn't even close.
She beat you like a drum, didn't she?
Beat me like a drum. No, it was. But you played Pine Valley. Is it?
I have.
Or what? It is.
Well, I used to live very close to there when I played for the Flyers. So it was a pretty quick run right down to Pine Valley.
How many times have you played it?
I played about 10 times.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, it's a spectacular piece of property, and you know, to be able to play it is a pleasure. I mean, it is a treat. It is an honor. And you got to do it the right way. You took a private jet out there. You got to play with play with a crazy amateur, awesome amateur. Must be nice being Tim Peel lately. That's pretty good, buddy.
No, it was a lot of fun, buddy. I loved it.
What'd you shoot?
I shot 94. It's a tough course. It ate me up. It ate me up. You know,
it is a tough course. It is a tough course.
One of the guys I played with was a 2 handicap, and he shot 89. So, you know, you got to be on your game.
Yeah, you really do.
And spray it and scramble and
so. Listen, don't get in those bunkers because there's no rakes there.
Those bunkers, they got one there called the Devil's Asshole.
It's number 11 on hole number 11. Yeah.
So anyway, it was fun, but yeah, we got a lot to talk about. Let's touch on the sponsors first.
Yeah, let's touch on the sponsors. Obviously, we have some great sponsors. My Whiskey in the Wild. Go to whiskeyinthewild.com. Chocolate orange whiskey. I can't stress to you enough how great it is. And I think, Tim, you and I have to crack open a bottle sometime soon, maybe to celebrate the end of the season. But whiskeyinthewild.com, and I'd be honored and pleasured if you reached out and grabbed a couple bottles. Bet Online, who's an awesome sponsor for ours. Bet Online is your number one source for the NBA Finals and Stanley Cup Final. Every stat, every matchup, even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game is over, head over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with over 150 slot games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Use promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. And remember, Bet Online and the game starts here.
Love it. And Protected Neck Guards, we're killing it. Reach out to me to get your organization or even just your son or daughter a neck guard, designed by Ray Barilli, the trainer of the St. Louis Blues, approved by the National Hockey League and USA Hockey. So reach out today. Hey, listen, before we get into the Stanley Cup Final, I was playing golf again yesterday with a Hall of Fame player here in St. Louis, Bernie Federko.
Class guy.
And we got talking about the Hall of Fame and things like that. And I know you touched on it like months ago, but I was looking up, I was pretty confident in your stats. Big Walt's got 1,065 points. You've got 1,216 points. And I guess I am taking a shot at the Sedin twins, but the Sedin twins have 1,070 and 1,040. How are those two guys in the Hall of Fame before you and Big Walt? Like, it pisses me off, to be honest with you, because it's such bullshit. I'm asking the question, but I'm also answering it. But I want you to give your opinion on this from somebody that didn't play in the league, but was a part of it for a long time. And I know how the Canadian media works. The Sedin twins played in Vancouver. They never won a cup. Good hockey players, really good hockey players. But how are they in the Hall of Fame before you and Big Walt?
How's Alfredson there in the same year?
Daniel Alfredson, another guy. Like, how is that? Like, is it that political? Bernie said to me, he said, there's no question that JR and Walt should be in the Hall of Fame. He goes, there's no question.
Well, the crazy stat is there's only two 500 goal scorers not in the Hall of Fame now.
You and Walt.
Yeah, me and Walt.
You've got
513.
And Walt's got 538, I think. So there's only two 500 goal scorers not in the Hall of Fame.
Yep.
Is it because you guys are American? Like, isn't this the Hockey Hall of Fame?
Maybe they don't like Boston. Maybe they don't like Boston.
It's not the Canadian Hockey Hall of Fame. It's the Hockey Hall of Fame. It should be for everybody.
Correct. I don't know. I'm kind of done talking about it and talking. You know what's great for me? This is what's great for me. Everywhere I go. And by the way, thank you for supporting me in this conversation.
Yeah, I tweeted it out. Yes. Oh, you know how this started. This is how it started. Somebody put on social media yesterday morning, is Joe Pavelski a Hall of Famer? And my tweet back was, great player. Love Joe. But he should not go in the Hall of Fame before Jeremy Roenick and Keith Tkachuk. That's what I tweeted out. That's how this conversation got started.
Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate it a lot. And listen, you know my opinion on whether we should both be there. I mean, that's an obvious yes. But what's really great for me and what matters more to me is everywhere I go, Tim, and I'm telling you everywhere.
Yeah.
Especially when I go to Canada, I go into Boston, I come here to Chicago where I am today. Every single person, and I mean every single person that has known me as a player and says hi or has a chat, says you should be in the Hall of Fame. Every single person, and I'm not kidding, every single person.
Right.
And when they say that, that gives me my validity. Sure. You know, the fact that the people, you know, the fans who I loved so much, whether you were a fan of mine or not, a fan of hockey, period, I love. And that means more to me than the 30 people that pick it every year. I know I have millions of people who support me in that. I know I should be there, but it's... And I also understand why I'm not, Tim. Let's not beat around the bush here. I wasn't the most politically correct person. I wasn't the most gentle person as it comes. I was more controversial. I said things that would probably hurt a lot of people. I did things that demeaned and hurt and pissed off a lot of people. So don't think I don't understand that some of the things in my actions and in the way that I behaved or personified didn't rub a lot of people the wrong way. So
I understand that, JR, but that is not what the Hall, that is, sorry, it's not, listen, you didn't get charged with domestic abuse. You didn't, some of the other things that you may not recover from.
Well, there's life. There's a lot of people in the Hall of Fame who do have criminal histories.
100%. Like,
and bad things, but.
I appreciate your honesty, but I'm sorry. That should not matter with the Hall of Fame. The Hall of Fame is based on stats. The Hall of Fame is really based on stats. Daniel Alfredson had 426 goals, 682 assists for 1,108 points, and he's in the Hall of Fame before you two. It's an absolute joke. So I appreciate you, what you're saying, but because you said something controversial or pissed off people, that should not determine whether somebody's in the Hall of Fame. And that's,
yeah,
that kind of gets to my point that it's almost a popularity contest is really what it is.
It is. It's definitely political. It's definitely friendship biased. You know what? Listen, again, I've been passed over now for, it's 11 years. This year will be 12, be passed by for the 12th year this year. And it's okay. You know, it's okay. I've just gone through one of the biggest life changes in my life, and have come to realize that there are a lot of things that aren't as important as being a good person, being an honest person, being a person that has integrity, because I always wasn't that person, Tim. I really wasn't. I have no problem admitting that. And, I've come to grips with that. And, you know, it's not that I have found God, but I definitely have realized that there are more important things to make sure that you take care of: your health, your family, yourself. And I'm good. I'm good.
I know you are, and you're absolutely right. There's nothing, all the bullshit, you know, Smitty, our producer, knows this, that runs our social media. He sees it all the time, and I know it pisses him off. He sees people saying, yeah, you got fired because you fixed games and you did this and you did that. And I've come to the same thing is that I really don't give a shit what anybody else says, because all that matters at the end of the day is what is your family and your close friends and everybody else. It's all white noise. It doesn't matter. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. It's true. And by the way, you know, the important thing in life is you understand when you have done things that were wrong and not. I got fired for something that I didn't do wrong.
Right.
I didn't do anything wrong to get fired. I was having fun, told a funny story, didn't hurt anybody. Exactly. Didn't hurt anybody. I got fired. I got fired during the height of the woke bullshit.
100%.
And I got hired. I got fired because of a guy who doesn't like me.
Yeah.
He doesn't like me because of my personality. He doesn't like me because I was edgy, and he doesn't like me because I'm a Republican.
Yeah.
That's it. And he doesn't like me. He doesn't like me because I like Trump.
Yeah.
And that's fact that you can't. So anyway, but I do know that I've done a lot of things that pissed a lot of people off. And embarrass a lot of people, and for that I'm sorry. But you know, Hall of Fame is the Hall of Fame. It's for me, it's anticlimactic now.
Yeah.
But I appreciate the support by everybody, you and Bernie and all the fans and everybody, and everybody who doesn't believe I should be there, that's fine too. You know,
right.
I have no problem with that. That's great. But
yeah,
listen, in this world, Tim, right now, there's no common sense. Zero. There's no common sense. Some of the things that are being said and some of the things that are at least portrayed to us. There's no common sense why the Sedin twins are in there and Keith and I aren't. There's no common sense that makes that logically. So we know it. We have common sense. Not everybody does, but that's okay.
Yeah. How come we are waiting till Saturday to start the Stanley Cup? Why are we waiting?
Because you got to make sure that Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl are healthy.
Well,
for the biggest season ever.
Hopefully this extra few days will give them will give Connor a chance to heal some of his, because he was definitely injured. I heard he had some sort of abdomen injury, and that was preventing him from being able to shoot because he wasn't shooting as much the last couple of games. Well,
it didn't prevent him from scoring one of the highlight goals of the National Hockey League playoffs in game six. Holy shit.
Unbelievable.
He put on a display that game again. So whether he's hurt or not, he has some pretty strong fortitude to be able to play still a high-powered game and probably one of the most offensively impressive games being hurt. Shows you how good he really is. But when you say Saturday, I think there's two things that come into play. And the Florida Panthers are injured and sore too. So I think the league really wants these guys to get as much rest as possible to give us the best product as possible for this final series, which is going to be, I think, unbelievable. The other thing is the amount of travel they're going to have to do, get ready for the time travel. And number three is, this is not really, even though Connor McDavid, the face of the league, is in the final, if you're looking at a viewership aspect, okay, on television, a lot of people in America aren't going to care about the Edmonton Oilers. Doesn't even matter if Connor McDavid's there. They're not going to care about a Canadian team. And not many people are going to care about Florida.
Right.
Even half the people in Florida don't even go for the regular season games, but they're there now. So as the matchup goes by viewership and ratings, it's not the best ratings setup for the non-crazy hockey fan. For us, it's unbelievable, but not for the common, fly-by-night hockey fan. They're not going to tune in and watch Edmonton versus Florida.
Except the Canadian market. And the NHL got lucky, because if Dallas had a one, buddy, it would be even worse if it was Dallas, Florida.
I agree.
But Edmonton won, so they get all of Canada on Sportsnet.
Which is another reason why Hockey Night in Canada on Saturday, to start this series, you have a Canadian team in the final. A Saturday game across Canada is going to be the most watched
100%
telecast all year.
Right. Absolutely. Don't you think Dallas looked tired in game six?
I thought they were awful.
Yeah.
And if you watch that game, I mean, Edmonton was very non-Edmonton like, if you want to say that. And it's almost like they were trying to prepare for a much stronger defensively oriented defensive style game, maybe to go up against Florida. But with 10 minutes left in the game, shots are 34-10. Edmonton had 10 shots on net. Mm-hmm.
I know.
Played, and it's a very tough way to win a hockey game, by playing a defensive game, by playing not to lose. There's a difference between playing to win and playing not to lose. Edmonton scored that first goal and then got that second goal. They just locked it up, and they were playing not to lose. They played defense. They didn't go on the offense. They got the puck deep. There was nobody cheating. They were all five back. They were playing strong defense, and they won a big hockey game on the road in a different way, which was really impressive.
I've been impressed with.
Actually, they were there at home. They were at home, so it wasn't on the road. But still,
right.
They found a way to win a different style of hockey game.
I've been impressed with Chris Knobloch, buddy. He does not get flustered behind the bench. He looks very calm. There were some coaches that looked like they had deer in the headlights in the playoffs, and I won't mention them because I respect them. But there were a few that I thought looked like they were panicking. And this guy doesn't seem to panic, and he's pulled all the right strings with Skinner and Pickard, and in game three or four, making three lineup changes. He's pulled out that Desharnais and put Broberg in, who's scored a goal and has played very well. Yep. I've been impressed by Knobloch, buddy, for a rookie coach.
Well, even McLeod scored a goal, and Correct. Even Perry had an assist. So all three guys that he put in have come in and produced very well, have played very well, and now we're still in the lineup getting ready to start game one. So that's pretty impressive, if you ask me, that you make that change. And the only thing that worries me a little bit is Evander Kane with an injury out, and you have Fogel going in, who's been pretty much inept in the way that he's played. He hasn't been able to score goals. He's not the type of player I think that you want in there right now, replacing Evander Kane, who was so dynamic in a situation like this.
I text Kaner when they won, and I said, "Hey, congrats." I said, "You know, how you feeling?" He says, "I'll be ready for game one." So this extra, to your point a few minutes ago about the extra time off, it's going to help guys like him. Like I said, he's dealing with some sort of sports hernia and had to get multiple injections and so on. So maybe this extra time will help a guy like
it's got to be. And by the way, you and I both know that a guy like that is going to be huge. Before we start breaking this down, I mean, again, I hate to do this with the second time in a row, but we got to bring on our Edmonton fan Keenan because he gave us some really good info and kind of behind the scenes up in Edmonton, up there, of what it's like to be an Edmonton Oilers fan and what it's like maybe in Canada. You know, we were talking about whether if you're a Canadiens fan, are you rooting for the Montreal Edmonton Oilers? If you're a Toronto Maple Leaf fan, are you rooting for the Edmonton Oilers? If you're a Calgary Flames fan,
not a chance.
No way. Yes, they are. There's no question. No, are you kidding me? Not a chance. All right. Hey. There's Keenan. There he is.
Don't worry. I'm not driving today. Don't worry.
Beautiful. Well, listen, congratulations. We had to bring you on again because obviously this is exciting news for all you Edmonton Oilers fans. You gave us some great feedback last week, but what is it like in Canada right now, especially as an Oilers fan, having a team in the final?
Oh, it's a party right now, JR. It's a party. And the fans, we're all pumped up. We want Saturday to start, to be Saturday already. We want to be ready to go because, you know, Edmonton, for a 6 o'clock game on a Saturday, they're going to be having a couple pops right before the game, getting all fired up. So,
right before the game, you mean like 6 a.m. and before the game? Oh,
even earlier, probably. It's 6 a.m. right now. I guarantee you, if it's 6 a.m. that comes Saturday, they'll be ready to go.
Keenan, I gotta bring this up. I'm sure you've seen it, and I don't know if JR saw it. This is a kid-friendly show, so I won't get into too many details, but is there any chance that young lady is going to be at one of the playoff games in Edmonton? She kind of became an internet sensation by pulling up her shirt, and it went like multi-million views. I wonder if she's going to be at the game.
They need her on the glass behind the Florida bench, you know, distract them a little bit. But and people are still trying to find her and figure out who she is there. So
yeah, they want to give her. They want to give her free.
Plane I mean, tickets. I'll just.
Free plane tickets to Florida and tickets.
I know.
Keenan, you went to a lot of games this year. Are you going? Keenan, you went to a lot of games this year. Are you going to any of the Stanley Cup final games?
I mean, us and our family are talking about going to game three because we'll be in Edmonton on game three. I mean, ticket prices are through the roof, but I think we're willing to make a little sacrifice, and it'll definitely be up on my Twitter if I'm going. I'm going to the watch party, like the indoor one on Saturday there, get all fired up. But hey, I wish I could just spend it.
All right, give us your take of this matchup, because you guys can't feel overly confident going against a team as strong and powerful as the Panthers, especially not having home ice.
And so I personally, I'm ready to see how Florida is really going to bully us around. But at the same time, we had LA try to do this. That didn't work. We had Vancouver do that to us. That didn't work. Dallas is more of a offense. Like, they weren't really very physical. So, but at the same time, Florida is scary. They have a great goalie in net. They have a great four lines, great people down the middle. But I'll see. I am confident because Dallas, I thought, was our hardest matchup, and we took them to six games. And with in Knobloch, we trust. He can make adjustments. He can see how this team's going. Look at him. He pulled, when I talked with you guys there on Wednesday, well, he pulled out three guys of the lineup, and it clearly paid off. So if it can pay off here again, if he can take the lineups and see where he can slot guys in, we got a very, very good chance because it's all about adjustments.
It's, you know what, if I'm Connor, if I'm Leon, if I'm any of the Edmonton Oilers, I have my head on a swivel anytime Sam Bennett is on the ice because he can knock somebody out of a series. This guy, he's one of the most underrated players, I think, in the Stanley Cup Finals. This guy can do it all. He can score goals, but he can punish you too. So they better keep their head up, JR, because with Bennett on the ice, man, he can
Yeah, I think they have a lot of aspects, but both teams do. And I think Edmonton's playing better than they have in years. Everybody's bought in. Nugent Hopkins is finally, you know, earning his pay. Hyman obviously had an unbelievable year. What an acquisition he was. Getting Ekholm, I think, is one of the most underrated trades helping this team. So, all right, real quick, Keenan, give us your prediction, and who's going to be the Conn Smythe winner, and then I'll have to let you go.
I'm going to say Oilers in six, and Conn winning at home in six, and Zach Hyman for the Conn Smythe.
Zach Hyman, wow. Very well said. Okay, buddy, thanks for all. Good luck.
Good luck.
Have fun. Don't drink too many Molson Canadians, okay?
Okay, you guys take care.
All right, see ya.
Listen, I love Keenan. And I know how big of an Oiler fan he is, JR. Listen, I don't have a dog in what's that dog in the race or whatever that expression is. I'm kind of torn. I'd love to see McDavid win a Stanley Cup. I'd love to see the Edmonton Oilers win a Stanley Cup. But I've also known Matthew Tkachuk since he was 4 years old, and I know how much it would mean to Matthew. I just think Florida is just. I think they're just too good. I think they're too solid from the first line to the fourth line. And it's not even we'll get into Barkov and Matthew. And it's guys like Evan Rodriguez. This guy, they just have a solid, solid team. I think they have better goaltending with Bobrovsky.
They definitely have better goaltending.
So, I don't know. As much as I'd like to see Keenan and the Canadian fans bring the Stanley Cup back to Canada. I think Florida's just too good. What do you
think? I said this on Monday, and I'm going to say it again. I would love to see a Canadian team win. There's no question about it. It would be really cool to see Canada celebrate a Stanley Cup in their country. Whether they care it's in Edmonton or whether it should be in Toronto or wherever, just to have one there is, I think, very important, not only for the country, but for the game. However, Matthew Tkachuk is my boy.
Yeah.
I love him, you know, like my own son.
Yeah.
I've known him since he was born. I know Brady.
Yeah.
I love the Tkachuk family. Keith Tkachuk is my brother. There's a more of a loyalty for a person more than a team.
Right.
And then I love Sam Reinhardt. I love Ekblad. I mean, I really love watching these guys. And, you know, I've had conversations with them and I'm more of a relationship with more people in Florida. But for me, it's plainly personal, and it's Matthew Tkachuk, because I just think he exonifies the Tkachuk name. He plays the game properly. He is an all around player, and he is a great human being. So yeah. I'm going to go with Florida. On that aspect alone, but they do have better goaltending. I think defense is relatively even. I think Florida has a more of a four line up solid team, four lines through, but they don't have Connor McDavid and they don't have Leon Draisaitl.
You know,
that is a huge difference, but people have to also understand there's going to be an entity in this series that watching the game on television, you're not going to be able to see or understand. And that's the ice conditions.
Yeah.
In Edmonton, they have the best ice on the planet. I couldn't wait to get to Edmonton because it was hard. It was crisp. The puck was laying flat. I said this on the show Monday. The guys that can skate fast are extra fast on that ice. You get down to Florida in the middle of June with that humidity and heat and putting 20,000 people in that building. I don't care what kind of ice maker you are working behind the scenes. That ice is going to be soft. It's going to be snowy. That puck is going to be bouncing. It's going to be frustrating for guys like McDavid and Draisaitl and Nugent Hopkins that like that puck to glide smoothly. It's going to mess up shots. It's going to mess up passes. It's going to slow them down. I really believe that the ice is going to frustrate Edmonton more than it will frustrate Florida because they're used to being on it.
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree with you. I always liked working in Edmonton too. They always had the best ice. And that is definitely going to be a factor in this series. Before we move on, Matthew Tkachuk, you know what he's done a really good job of to JR in this playoffs compared to last year? Last year, he was always involved after the whistle, extracurricular activities, took a bunch of penalties. I didn't look it up, but I bet you he's had no more than two penalties the entire playoffs. He stayed away from that stuff. And that just comes from maturity.
Maturity.
Comes from experience. And I texted him the other day to congratulate him. And I could just tell, even though it was a text back, that this is a different Florida Panther team going into this year that went into the finals last year. This is a team that's been there. They maybe... As you know, you can say you know what you're dealing with when you get to the Stanley Cup Finals, but unless you've been there once or twice, you really don't understand the magnitude of it. And I think this is a much more mature team that is going to be much more businesslike going into this Stanley Cup Final than they were last year.
There's no question about it. I'll comment on the maturity part after I comment on your first part is about Matthew Tkachuk. There's no question that the maturity and learning from your past experiences is that's Matthew. He realized last year, and I think the whole team did, because Matthew was that guy that brought everybody into that mentality of intimidation.
Yeah.
After the whistle, getting in people's faces, punching people, getting getting penalties after the whistle. And it was also Sam Bennett. It was also, every single guy in that team that followed Matthew's lead in that. And they got worn out. They were penalized too much. They were too busy worrying about extracurricular things instead of playing the game during the whistles, not after the whistles. And this has been a different team. And that, I agree, is going to be a big difference this year. And, you heard what Knobloch said about experience. He goes, tell the Buffalo Bills, ask them about experience, whether winning a championship means anything.
People in Buffalo didn't like that. I don't know.
No, they didn't like that at all. But you know what? I mean, it's actually a great comment coming from a coach that to make sure his team isn't sitting there saying, oh, shit, we have never been to a final. We're in trouble.
Right.
It is a final. There are seven games. There is no question that experience will help the process, but it won't win you a championship. We've seen that before. But, the Florida Panthers know what they're going to feel like. They're going to know what the media attention is. They're going to know what a close game in a final feels like. Edmonton's not going to feel that. There are little intangibles, yes, that experience will aid in maybe their demeanor or their decision-making or their attitudes, but it's not going to win them a Stanley Cup. But it definitely got to give the experience notch to Florida, obviously, because they were there last year.
Yeah. Yeah. And I just think they're deeper. You've got besides Barkov, you've got Reinhart, you've got Carter Verhaeghe, you have Matthew. When we talk about the Edmonton Oilers, we pretty much talk about Leon and Connor, and Zach Hyman is a tremendous, I love Zach Hyman. I love him as a person. I loved reffing him. His personality is contagious and engaged. Like, he's just a great, great guy.
Yeah. It's kind of interesting. It's kind of interesting you said that. I don't mean to interrupt you, but do you think the Buffalo Sabres would like to have Sam Reinhart, 50 goal scorer? Okay. Do you think the Toronto Maple Leafs would like to have Zach Hyman, 50 right. goal scorer? Yeah. I mean, these are major league giveaways that have now come to fruition and now are blossoming in the final. And don't overlook Ryan Nugent-Hopkins.
Exactly.
Who is playing the best hockey that he's played in his career, by the way, and is putting points on the board. And like I said earlier in the show, finally earning the money and his draft status after years and years and years of mediocrity, if you ask me. And that's another thing. So you talk about the offensive guys. Florida's got some offensive guys. But the guys that are playing right now for Edmonton that are scoring are pretty affluent players. So as the top end goes, you got to give the edge to Edmonton because of McDavid and Draisaitl, period, end of sentence. But supporting cast is not so bad either. So it's going to be interesting. Yeah. And how about special teams? Like, who would have thought that the Edmonton Oilers would be 93% on their penalty kill right now?
Buddy, it's unbelievable. I sent out a tweet and I was incorrect. I said Glenn Gullickson deserves a pay raise, but I was wrong. It was actually Stewart. I think it's Brad Stewart is the penalty kill guy. They've been 28 for 28 in the playoffs. It's unbelievable. Their penalty kill is incredible. But guess what? Florida's power play is outstanding. With big, you know, with Matthew down there on the bumper, Barkov, Reinhardt, Verhaeghe, Ekblad, like Montour, their power play is deadly, and so is obviously Edmonton. But Edmonton. It'll be interesting to see, you know, they killed off 28 penalty kills in the playoffs, but now you're coming against the Florida power play, and maybe they shut them down again. Maybe that's the difference maker for Edmonton.
It could be. I think it has to be. I mean, this could be a series of special teams. Whoever has the best power play. Both teams have really good penalty kills right now. But what power play can produce the most? Can be as efficient, the most efficient, right? We haven't even talked about Bouchard and how great of a series of a playoff series,
unbelievable,
that this Bouchard is having. As the power play goes, nobody saw this coming from him. So, you know, he's a big factor to think about also. But again, you have to throw the special teams at an even draw, even with Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, because Florida Panthers power play has been zipping it.
Well, you talk about special teams and the power play. The reason that there's power plays is because the officials call penalties. And I want to give a shout out to the four guys that got picked for the Stanley Cup Finals, because it's an honor for them to get picked. And the NHL says, hey, these are the guys. You start off with 20 referees to start the first round. Then it goes to 12. Then it goes to 8. And then they take four guys to the finals. Your friend and buddy, a fellow Boston guy, Chris Rooney, is working his 7th Stanley Cup final, which is unbelievable. Dan O'Rourke is also working. Dan O'Rourke's worked 4 or 5 Stanley Cup finals. Steve Cazzari, he was the referee, JR, that got knocked out in Pittsburgh and carried off in a stretcher. So good for Steve for coming back. And Steve, I think, has worked 3 or 4 Stanley Cup finals. And then Johnny Bear, he's been around for quite a while. He's a really good young official from my part of the woods in New Brunswick, Canada. This is his first Stanley Cup final, but he's worked phenomenal in the playoffs. So shout out to those guys. Because
yeah, that's a great point. I'm glad that you brought that out, because it's a big, big factor in the final is the refereeing, whether it's experience, whether it's poise, whether it's being able to make that right call at the right time, not caring about what the fans' reactions are. And all those guys are definitely very strong in their will and their dedication to the game. But tell me, because I'm sure everybody would like to know, what are the ramifications, or what do you have to, not ramifications, that's the wrong word, but what do you have to do in the course of the playoffs to get from that 20 down to that last four? What do they look for, and how do they rate them, and how do they pick them?
They look for consistency. They look for guys that don't make soft calls. And you'll understand this, but a 1 minute penalty, and everyone goes, well, no, penalties are 2 minutes. Well, you call a penalty that really isn't a penalty. We kind of call that a 1 minute penalty, and the team scores in the power play, or even if they don't score, the league looks at it. I don't know if you remember the Dallas Edmonton series. It was game six, actually. And Kelly Sutherland, who's a phenomenal official, he's worked, I think, 10 Stanley Cup finals, but he gave Ryan Suter a roughing penalty on Connor McDavid down in the corner. And I think it was a play that everyone would have said, well,
it was a cross check, right?
Yeah, a bit of a cross check. But then Connor came back. And I think if at the end of the day, the league would have been happy if you had taken one from each team on that play. But he didn't. He took Ryan Suter. Edmonton scores on the power play. Kelly Sutherland, who I thought was a shoe-in to work the Stanley Cup Finals, is not working the Stanley Cup Finals, and that's the first time in quite a few years. So I'm not saying that one specific call contributed to him not working the finals, but I definitely can say that it had a bit to play in his ratings. So that's really what it comes down to. It comes down to consistency, and it comes down to officials not making weak calls. The NHL, Colin Campbell, Stephen Walkham, they would rather you miss a penalty than call a penalty that really isn't a penalty. Like Wes McCauley would always say to me whenever we'd ref, he'd go, we are calling penalties that all 18,000 people in the building can see. Everyone says, yes, that's a penalty. We are not calling a penalty that is a soft call, and that really is what it comes
to. Well, again, in such a huge series and the biggest time of the year, that's a great concept to have. It's a great mentality to have, because if you call a penalty that's not really a penalty, now it's 5-on-4. Now it's a disadvantage. At least if you don't call the penalty, you're still playing 5-on-5 and it's even up, and you know, so be it. Whoever scores, scores. Whoever doesn't, doesn't. But you're not giving that extra benefit to somebody. I think it's a great, great mentality to have. And a lot of people will be looking at that during this final and what the refs are going to call and what they're not going to call. Because you can't tell me that there's not going to be a little bit of bias for Connor McDavid being the spokesperson of the National Hockey League. They're golden boy. Whether he's going to get a little bit, and Canada, it's Canada, everybody. It's a Canadian game. Just ask them. And there's some Canadian influence, and whether that refereeing is going to have, maybe subconsciously, have a little bit of effect on the penalty calling. No. I don't think it will, but you know that the people are going to say it is. Oh, so yeah. I'm going to watch it.
100%. If something's called in Edmonton's way, the Florida fans are going to say they're getting the calls because it's Connor McDavid. And but no, these guys are pros. It's whether it's Connor McDavid or whoever, these guys are there's a reason that they've been selected. And I can't forget the linesman. Everybody always forgets the linesman. Johnny Murray, number 95. He's probably the best linesman. Well, I think he is the best linesman in the NHL. He's working along with Matt McPherson and Andrew Smith. They've all worked Stanley Cup Finals. And then Devin Berg, this is his first trip to the Stanley Cup Final. And the linesmen are a huge part of this too. They're you know, with their face-off standard that they have, the offside call.
They're just as professional, man. They're just as awesome. And he's just as important, for sure.
These guys are pros. They'll do a great job, and congratulations to those eight guys that have been selected. But Yeah, you know, officiating with the fans it'll rear its ugly head.
Hey, I can say the same thing about Chris Rooney making positive calls for Matthew Tkachuk because they're Boston based. So I can say the same thing, but you know, they don't come as professional and as good as Chris Rooney.
Guess who worked Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals between Boston and St. Louis back in 2019 was Chris Rooney, and he's a Boston guy. That's how much the NHL respects him.
To me, he's one of the best of all time, not just now.
And Doug Armstrong and Craig Berube, because they have a say. They can say who they would like to see. They don't have the final say, but they have a say on who they'd like to see in Game 7. And they know Chris was from Boston, but they go, no, you know what? Chris Rooney's the best ref.
Yeah. One of the best refs. By the way, that's one of the best compliments you can get from anybody, right?
Exactly.
All right. So who do you think? What do you think? What are we looking? What's your prediction? That's just like I asked Keenan early in the show. What's your prediction on the series, and who do you think is going to win the Conn Smythe? Which is crazy because he, as good as Connor McDavid is, I don't think he's the leading candidate for the Conn Smythe right now.
I think Florida in 7, and I think Alexander Barkov is going to win the Conn Smythe. This guy has played phenomenal. He's played phenomenal in the playoffs. This guy is a stud, as you know. If he was playing in Montreal, Toronto, Edmonton, he would be he is a superstar, but a superstar in the minds of Canadian fans. The Canadian fans are about to see how good of a player Sasha Barkov, I call him Alexander, Sasha Barkov. They're about to see how tremendous of a player this guy is, because he is a stud.
He is a stud. And again, he's going to have his hands full trying to shut down McDavid and Draisaitl, because as much as he is an offensive guy, he's more important defensively.
Well, he won the Selke this year, right?
Did he win it this year? I know he's won it before.
Yeah, I think he won it this year.
See, again, this is one of the reasons why he's been known as one of the top five centermen in the game and doesn't get the accolades that he needs or deserves because he's in Florida. I'm also gonna go with Florida. I'm actually gonna take a big risk here, and I'm gonna say Florida in 5.
Whoa.
I'm going to say Florida in 5. That's a huge risk. I'm going to go with the home ice advantage aspect of this. And right now I'm leaning on two players. I'm leaning on Sam Reinhart or Bobrovsky to bring home that Conn Smythe. I think Bobrovsky's been fantastic. He's been as good as any goaltender in the playoffs, hence while they're there. But if they win in 5, it's because of their goaltender and Bobrovsky standing on his head. Now, again, these are very, very bold predictions right now, but that's what I'm going to go with, because everybody can say 7, everybody can say Florida, everybody can say that, but I'm going 5. I'm going either Reinhart or Bobrovsky.
Yeah. Alexander Barkov won the Selke this year. So he is going to be a big,
was I correct in seeing that Austin Matthews was up for the Selke as well?
Yes, he was. He was. He's a good two-way player, JR. He really is. He's a good
It's two-way not that he's not a two-way player, but nobody saw that coming.
Well, Patrice Bergeron, he took Patrice's spot because Patrice was in the Selke nomination every year for the last probably 15. So going back to your prediction, though, are you saying, because you're saying 5 games, are you saying Edmonton is not going to win in the first 2 games here in Florida? You don't think Edmonton will win a game in Florida?
No, I don't think. I think Florida will come out and win the first 2 games in Florida and will find a way to steal one in Edmonton.
And win it at home then?
And then win it at home.
See, I disagree. I think this is.
Well, by the way, go on a limb. Of course, it's easy to disagree with a 5-game final again with these two very powerhouse teams. I mean, the odds are very against my prediction, but
I think Edmonton steals one in Florida. I think Edmonton steals one in Florida.
Well, which game do they have a better opportunity of doing that? Game one when they're rested, or game two if they lose the first one and be under the gun?
I think game one. I think Edmonton wins game one because I think Florida is the type of team that they would have liked to have kept playing and don't want the time off. They were on a roll. They really overpowered the Rangers. It went six games, but let's be honest, Shesterkin played out of his mind, and that series easily could have been over in five games if it wasn't for the Rangers goaltender, who, by the way, is in for a big payday this year. I was listening to Sirius XM yesterday, and they're saying that he could get $10-11.5 million this summer. So
I'd do it. I would pay it.
100%. That's a lot of money, though, to pay a goalie, buddy. That is a lot of money.
But if you look across the league, what other goaltenders deserve that kind of payday?
Not many.
Not many. And I think he's the new Vasilevsky of the game.
Yes, I agree. But I think Edmonton steals game one. I think Florida is going to be rusty. And sometimes, as you know, in the playoffs, playing at home, you play a different game than you play on the road. And I think Edmonton is going to win game one in Florida.
Well, there's only one way to find out, and that's to watch on Saturday.
Exactly.
So, again, I'd like to thank our sponsors, Bet Online. Protective neck guards. Thank you, Tim, for protecting our young fellas and everybody that's playing hockey. Very much needed. Reach out to Tim on social media if you want to get your team into these special neck guards and protecting your kids. And my whiskey in the wild, the best chocolate orange whiskey of all time. Our sponsors are important to us, but what's even more important to us are the people that listen. And we appreciate everybody tuning into our podcast, Snipes and Stripes, right here on nofilter.net. Enjoy the final this weekend, Tim.
I will, buddy. And, I will. I've got to go to a party Saturday night for a little bit in a hangar at an airport here in St. Louis. Brett Michaels from Poison is going to be there, and I'm going to make an appearance for a little bit, but then I'm going to rush home to watch.
Love it. Well, tell Brett we said hi. He's a good Arizona guy.
Okay. So
yeah, make sure you say hi. He lives down the street from me in Arizona, but
well,
enjoy Saturday, get home, bring your phone, watch it on your phone while you're at the party. And we will see you on Monday for weekend edition Snipes and Stripes to break down game one and get excited for game two. Tim, have a great weekend. Everybody enjoy the final. We will see you on Monday, Snipes and Stripes weekend edition. Bye, everybody.
Yeah.
See ya.